Welcome to Around Montgomery County. I have a special guest, folks. Nancy Redmond from Bramer Sanctuary in Hillsboro. Trails, birds, butterflies, and more. And it has really been a godsend for folks in the year of coronavirus. And in fact, the number of visitors, while some of the programs have been curtailed because of COVID, the numbers of visitors actually growing over the past 12 months as folks took on all of the beauty and splendor of Bramer on their own. Nancy Redmond, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Well, let's talk about that uptick in visitors. It wasn't just like 2 or 3% anything that someone could dismiss within an election night kind of margin of error. It was a significant leap, and it wasn't guesswork. It was something where, I guess science, if you will, showed the uptick in numbers.
Yes, yes. Well, personally, I'm glad that we have an uptick in numbers because I feel that Bramer Sanctuary has been a hidden treasure for many years. The people haven't even realized that it was there or what it was about. And I know all the Bramer stewards and volunteers are also glad that we have a lot of other people that are noticing our sanctuary. When we shut down back last March because of COVID, we were limited at the sanctuary. We are an Illinois Audubon property, so we go by the rules that Illinois Audubon sets forth. And we were basically shut down just for any type of event or anything. The only thing we could hold was basic maintenance, like trail mowing. If there was a fallen tree, we were allowed to go out and cut that, chop that up and that. But as far as that, any events were canceled, but our trails have always remained open throughout the entire pandemic. And about in May of last year, we noticed we had an increase in traffic that was using the driveway, for one thing, because our driveway was getting more potholes in it, which would indicate more increased traffic. We do have trash cans outside. They were fuller a lot of the time, and we were having to change them out. We do have along our trails trail cameras strategically placed along some of our popular trails, and that's for us to be able to monitor wildlife, to see what's coming and going and what populations we have. And it also catches our visitors on the trails as well. We would check those about every month or two, and we noticed there was a lot more people, new people that we hadn't seen before, people pushing baby strollers and carrying backpacks. There was a lot of families that would bring their kids up to let them run the trails. We also had a lot of joggers. We also noticed a lady last fall that we had spoke with. She was using a walker, one of the walkers with the seats on it, and she would walk a little way on an easy trail, and then she would sit down and take a rest and enjoy the view. So we did notice a lot of uptick on that, and kind of comparing numbers from the year before on our trail monitoring, we saw about a 65% increase in visitors using our trails, and that's kind of a conservative number as well, too.
Well, I know what you do is special, and it has to be rewarding when you look at the youth outreach programs, what you do with the students out there, and to lose that had to be, I'm sure, difficult for not only them but you. How is the news that Bramer has really played such a key role in people's lives during this tough historic period, how has that boosted your spirits and the others over at Bramer?
I think we personally enjoy it. We like for people to come enjoy our property. And, you know, us being able to talk to people, once our restrictions were lifted a bit as far as our stewardship up there, we were able to be up there a little bit more doing some other than just general maintenance work. So when people were there, we would try to, we noticed many new faces. We would try to stop and talk with them for a minute while we were doing our maintenance. We tried to make sure that they had a map and explained a bit about the property and find out what type of trail they were looking for, a long or short trail. Some of our trails are open prairie, and some of our trails are in the timber, which are good for summer hiking because it's cool and shaded. We just noticed when we would talk to the folks, we would ask them where they were from and how they heard about us. And we had visitors coming from Staunton and Edwardsville. And I know my husband even talked to a gentleman that was from Chicago. He got up at like 4 that morning and drove down here because he had saw it listed on a birding site as an excellent birding location. So he drove all the way down from Chicago, had his big camera with him, and he was going to spend the day at the sanctuary adding to his bird list. So that makes us all very happy.
So it's neat. You have some out-of-town first-timers. Yes, yes. But I know when you look at local folks, let's say St. Louis people, they don't go up in the Gateway Arch. They probably never will, a certain percentage of the population. Springfield folks, you can talk to a bunch of them. Never been to a Lincoln site, never will. There's some kind of weird human trait where people won't check out their own local attractions. And have there been some first-timers who have broken out of that, out of just trying to find something to help them pass the time and get through the rut of COVID, work at home, and everything else?
Yes, we've met several people up there that fit that category to a T. Many of our locals that we ran into stated that they never even knew that place was there, even though it's been there for 40-plus years. Not necessarily as a hiking trail sanctuary. That's only really come about in about the last 30 years or so. But then some people said, oh, well, yeah, we've heard about that, but we didn't know what it was. So that's where they were taking the initiative. We're clearly marked. We're located just a half mile north of the Montgomery County Courthouse in Hillsboro. There's signage along the road to point you to the right direction. We have 203 acres of timber ground and restored prairie. And just a little bit about Braemar. It was an old farmstead. It was founded by the Braemar family in the 1850s. They had immigrated from Germany and they purchased 50 acres in a land grant, and then it just grew from there. And how their farmstead ended was the remaining heirs, Helen and Betty Braemar, of John Henry Braemar. When John Henry passed away in 1976, Helen and Betty decided that they wanted that property instead of selling it because they were elderly and couldn't maintain it. They had been renting out the farm ground. It was mainly pasture and farm ground, and the pasture was cattle, cows and hogs. So the ground itself from being farmed was very blanched out, and as well as there was no real timber ground because the cows and the pigs had consumed it all. So they donated the property in 1977 to the Illinois Audubon Society, and it was donated in small tracts up until 1999 upon the death of Helen Braemar. And then the last tract was donated, and it became a sanctuary. We had a volunteer crew at that time that restored the barn, started restoring some of the trails. We have an awesome restoration crew right now on board with us, which, like I said before, the farm ground was void, so we have been restoring select wildflowers and native grasses that we're reintroducing. Our prairies in July and August are beautiful. They are just abundance of color, abundance of grasses. Our timber ground, we're slowly trying to rid it of the invasive honeysuckle, which is always a struggle. And we're trying to provide a more open savanna in our timber areas, which I believe is helping the wildlife as well. We have a large population of red-headed woodpeckers up there that use our timber ground. We also offer, on the 203 acres, 3.5 miles of trails, hiking trails. We're open from dawn till dusk every day. Our property, some of the highlights of our property, we have a picnic table area. A lot of people do bring their lunches up there and eat. We have two viewing platforms that are relatively new, a covered footbridge. And we have a bird feeder area. And in the summertime, we have hummingbird feeder areas that you can come and watch that. We also recently completed a new concrete bridge over the Crest Creek in the back to access. There's actually 47 acres on the west side of Crest Creek, which runs through the property, which until we really established this new concrete bridge this summer was kind of inaccessible to most people. You had to cross the riprap in the creek, and that was only if the creek was dry. And So now we have a beautiful, nice bridge there for individuals. It helps with our maintenance. Our tractors can get across it now. And also we've got some pictures of wildlife using it as well. So that there's many things to do up there. We also have a lot of events that we have. We can talk about that in a little bit if you got another question for me.
Absolutely. I have to think, I know remote learning, I know most of the schools have returned to in-person learning, but remote learning, I know there was a rut, I know there was difficulty, and I know you weren't able to have your youth outreach programs on site in the past year, but I have to think through social media, you were a great educational tool and the kind of tool that kids gravitated toward.
Well, I would hope so. Yes, we normally, in a typical year, we hold two bird walks. This is open to the general public. You don't have to be a member. You just have to get up early, like we start at 7 a.m. We also hold two flower walks. In the fall events, we host a very popular owl prowl in October, and we've had upwards of 150, 180 people attend that over the years. We also, this will be our fifth year this coming fall to do bird banding, which is relatively new to our area. If people are interested in that, it's kind of come and go as you please on a Saturday morning. And I'm also involved with the banding operation that comes in bands. You get a really up close and personal view of the birds and a very good education. We have a very good speaker who hosts this. So that's becoming a very popular event. We have to amend how our events are held this year, because typically in Bramer fashion, with our bird walk, we host a breakfast afterwards. Well, we don't really feel comfortable right now having food and drink, so we're cutting back on our activities to where it's just a bird walk. It'll be all outdoors. We are working on, we will have our barn open. We have the only two structures on the property are two silos and an old machine shed barn, which we have rehabbed over the years to make it has educational displays. It's also where we have our meetings at. Tuesday, Thursday mornings, the stewards meet from about 8 to 11 to have coffee and donuts and then discuss what they need to do for the day, either cut wood or mow trails or do something else. The barn itself, this past summer, we took the opportunity to rehab the inside of the barn to make a nice kitchen area, an actual kitchen area with cabinets and such. So if you've ever been to a Bramer event, especially our potlucks, we scrambled to find enough table space to put everybody's crock pot. Well, now that is not a problem anymore, thanks to our construction crew at Bramer. We have a beautiful kitchen, which we have not had a chance to share with anybody because we haven't had any events. So we're looking forward to this year. We do have a calendar planned. I have not announced it yet for public events, but we also encourage we saw a lot of families using our trails, and they would be families that had field guides with them. So the kids could identify the butterflies that they saw, or they could identify some of the birds. The kids had binoculars with them. So I think that really helped out in the pandemic because of the school cancellation and people aren't traveling, they're not going places. I saw several groups of friends sitting with six feet apart with their lawn chairs enjoying a sack lunch. We have in the past held church groups. We've had scout groups come through. So we're hoping that maybe in the summer or latter fall, folks will be comfortable again with being able to either contact us for us to give them a program, or just coming and doing their own program using our facility, either way. So yes, we are hopeful that we will pick up on our activities this year. And I think there's been a newfound wealth amongst families that we do have nice trails. It's safe. There's a lot to see, a lot to explain to kids. So I think that's, we've really, really increased our population that way as far as interested individuals.
Well, as we mentioned, the past year has been all about using the trails over at Bramer, but facilities like the legendary barn, not so much. So what opportunities will there be this year?
The education barn is, it's only open during events, and it's only open when volunteers are there. And like Tuesday and Thursday morning when the guys are up there, I'll be up there once in a while if I'm not working to just, you know, shoot the breeze and have coffee and donuts and stuff. It's open then if anybody wants to come up and go through it. We just got done doing that big construction project. I've been revamping and rehabbing all the exhibits in it because they were getting kind of dated. And, you know, it wasn't really holding kids' interest very well, I didn't think. So we have really made a big effort. In fact, I'm going up there this afternoon to work on some stuff, a new exhibit that we're having. But anytime anybody wants to go through it, if you get a hold of a Bramer member, Bramer volunteer, or just contact us through the Facebook or the website, you know, we can set up a, you know, there's stewards that are happy to take people through it. And like, I forgot, failed to mention the open house thing that we're trying to plan too, to have like 4 open houses this summer. I think we got May, June, September and October on just a Sunday afternoon being open for like a couple of hours, and people can come, people can see what's inside the barn. Cause like I said, it's locked because of vandalism, and you know, people would get in there and tear things and steal things. And, so we were going to have an open house so people could come tour the barn, maybe take a little brief hike, get a history about the property, what we offer, what we do. We're always looking for volunteers, you know, things like that.
Well, I know the volunteers, yourself, I mean, the primary mission is maintaining the grounds and improving them. Yes. and showing it off to visitors. And maybe there's not a ton of time for getting into the PR aspect, but that's the great thing about social media, and you get some help. You get some great,
yes.
They're not PR people, they're PR birds. The owls have really drawn attention far and near.
Yes, they have. When I'm the education chairperson, so I plan the educational events and all the public events that we have at the sanctuary. I also manage our Facebook page, and I also produce our quarterly newsletter. And the OWL Project started last year by Jack Nuzzo from the Illinois Raptor Center was trying to establish whether barred owls prefer a certain type of nest box. They're traditional with the hole in the front, and then there's the modified, which has a partial hole in the front, which spills over onto the top of the box where it's open. That's called an open chimney concept. And when you really think about it, owls typically will nest in, especially barred owls, will nest in cavities of trees where there's a large tree and a large limb has fell off, which creates a void. That's where the barred owls will make a nest. And they don't make a nest. They just live in the cavity as it is. So we installed, we had some owl boxes previously that were the traditional type. So we had a volunteer make 2 modified boxes. We installed them last year, and lo and behold, one of the modified boxes had a barred owl nest in it with 3 eggs. 2 of those eggs hatched and then eventually fledged. We actually were able to find one of the fledglings late summer, still remaining in the area, which they will. So I had posted the progress on that. My husband and I were the ones who monitored the box last year. And we posted that on our Facebook page. We would monitor it weekly. Right now, the barred owls are currently laying eggs in the boxes. And I have not seen any activity in the box yet, but sometimes they hunker down and you just can't see them with binoculars. They're laying eggs currently. They incubate 28 to 33 days. So by the third to fourth week in March, there should be owl hatchlings, owlets in the boxes, if the boxes are occupied. So that's when you really need to start checking. We monitor them every week. I posted the pictures on Facebook of the owl growth progress, and it was a big hit. We actually had likes coming from South America. That was the single most event on the Bramer Facebook page that had the most likes ever since the page was instituted probably about 10 years ago. So yes, that was a very popular event.
Well, and you talk about views like that, I think it goes to show for the uninitiated who, when you bring up the word owl, all they can think about is who, Right. There's so much more to an owl than
there is.
Than its familiar there noise.
Is. Yes, and I'm kind of the owl lady. We do the owl prowl in the fall, and then I also will host a couple of programs more towards the fall, September, October, and they're family friendly, and we talk about the common owls of Illinois. And there's four common ones that reside here year round. I do a PowerPoint on that. The children and adults, and a lot of adults say they learn so much from it that they never knew. We go over their calls. We provide owl pellets, which is what the owl vomits up because it can't digest the fur and the bones. So we have sterilized owl pellets available for people to tear into and pick bones. It's just a very cool workshop. A lot of people enjoy it. That's just one of the programs that we offer, and that would probably be more towards the fall on that.
Well, it's more than bird watching with binoculars. I mean, that's
correct.
A great part of what you do, but I mean, what we've talked about so far, it shows that it's a real education in the life of the birds and the other wildlife, that you get to see the whole life cycle.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And a lot of people who are into prairie plants and prairie restoration projects, they come up and have done surveys on our property, the different wildflowers that we have reintroduced. Basically, it's a lot of hard work maintaining the trails and the prairies. There's a lot of volunteers needed, especially when we do a burn. We have to do prescribed burns on the property, both prairie and woodland, and that's just to kind of renew. And it is surprising when we don't get to burn, especially our west prairie is the most colorful in the summertime. If we do not get to burn that, then the next year it struggles a little. It's not quite as colorful. If we can do a full burn on that west prairie that following summer, it is beautiful, because when you think about it, you're removing all of the clutter of the dead plants from the year before. You're opening up the ground for more sun. We do a lot of seeding. There's been gentlemen up there right now that have been seeding over the last couple weeks to renew some of the prairie flowers. It just takes a lot of work on our trails and our prairies.
Well, let's talk about another winged wonder. There's no shortage of butterflies in pop culture, whether we're talking jewelry or tattoos or artwork. I know I'll see someone pose in front of a mural with butterfly wings, or angel wings for that matter. So there's no shortage there. The one thing I didn't know until recently, the iconic monarch butterfly, its numbers have dwindled significantly. It's kind of getting into that discussion like the bees, even though it's not responsible for producing our food supply. That's certainly discouraging to hear, but a great place to see the monarch is Bremer.
Yes, and the monarchs are typically in full swing in July, August, September is kind of there when we see the most of them. Our habitat, our prairie habitats, we do have several different species of milkweed, and milkweed is the common plant for monarchs. That is what they feed off of, the caterpillars feed. The actual butterfly can get nectar from the flowers when they're in bloom. They will lay their eggs on the back of a milkweed plant. And then when the eggs hatch out, they are already born onto their food source. They eat the leaves. And that's the only thing monarch butterflies eat is milkweed. So the caterpillars will grow, and then they will form their chrysalis probably on or somewhere around the milkweed plant, and then the chrysalis will hatch out in about 14 days, and we start the cycle over again. The monarchs will migrate down to Central America during the winter times, why you don't see any butterflies here. The monarchs will, like I said, they'll use that. The milkweeds are a host plant, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And we have several different varieties. We have common milkweed, swamp well milkweed, all kinds of different things for them to choose from. So if you just walk a prairie trail in late summer, early fall, you're sure to see lots of monarchs. And I know last year I noticed lots of tiger swallowtails and red-spotted purples, which is, and black swallowtails. we just had an abundance of butterflies last year. So we're hoping to help increase the population of monarchs because they are currently in a struggle, for sure.
Well, I know some folks, you know, we get into a generational warfare, and some folks like to stereotype the millennials and younger as just being a bunch of people who want to sit in front of a screen all day. But the one thing I have noticed, younger generations, really a big chunk of them gravitate toward hiking and discovering nature. And I imagine that you're seeing that trend there as well.
Yes, we do have a lot of younger people, and they're mainly the ones that are carrying the backpacks. So it looks like they're there for the day, to hike for the day. We have, like I said, we have 3.5 miles of trail. We have lots of scenic areas to stop and just spread out a blanket and have a picnic. Our timber trail has 36 informational signs along it that talk about different aspects of our trails that you can stop and read. So actually, to get through the timber trail, and if you stopped and read all the signage, it'd probably take you a couple hours for sure. That's just a good resource to have too, because sometimes people, when they come out in nature, they don't really have a clue what they're looking at. So I think signage is an important part of explaining our habitats, explaining what we do, things like that. But yes, we do notice there's a lot of family groups coming out and enjoying the property.
Well, I have to think you've played an important role for some folks who are just looking to recover their mental health. You know, they haven't been able to socialize.
Right.
Work from home has its upside, but certainly has its downside. I imagine this has been just a good place to find some inner peace, whatever the case may be, just to be, you know, out there, get exercise, and just be out among nature.
Yes. Yes, I think people enjoy the trails, and it's something that's open 365 days a year. You can enjoy it in the various stages, seasonal stages. Like right now, I personally like hiking right now on a good day because there's no bugs, there's no mosquitoes, you're not hot. And the trees are, you know, deciduous trees, so there's no leaves. You can see for quite a ways into the woodlands to see deer running, you know, say 100, 150 yards away from you through the trees. Spring is always a good time, although it does seem to be kind of muddy. We get new woodland flowers blooming in the spring, like bluebells. And summer is always beautiful because of our prairies, but it tends to get hot sometimes and buggy. So we have a lot of people who hike early in the morning. And fall is just a beautiful time anyway. The prairies are pretty much done blooming by the fall. So you have the native grasses that are all various sizes and shapes that are nice to look at in the prairies. And then it's just, you know, a lot cooler. Animals seem to be moving about more, trying to forage for winter. We have a lot of, you know, we have raccoons, possums, squirrels. We do have snakes. So everybody's out and about trying to get their food stash in. So that's, fall is a good time for viewing wildlife up there.
Well, we've heard about the COVID-19 and all of that. I have to think it's been a big boost for physical health. And as I like to say, I think gyms are great. And I've done some CrossFit, even though it doesn't look like it these days. But I'm not really a treadmill guy. The exercise of repetitive things, that doesn't work for everybody. It seems like this is a great venue for a certain number of people out there.
Yes, it sure would be. I am not much a fan of the treadmill either. I would like to be out in the open, and I'm not a fan of walking a roadway either. I'd rather be off-road, hiking a trail. Our trails are nicely mowed. Even our woodland ones are easy. Everything is pretty much an easy hike at the sanctuary. So there's a lot of things to see, different habitats. And our bridge that was just concrete bridge that was just installed last summer, if you actually hike across it, I think it's visually appealing. People hear about it, but it's located at the intersection of two main trails that people hike on. So if they look over and see this large concrete bridge, hey, let's see where that goes. So they'll get on it, and it hikes across our west property, which is, like I said, 47 acres. And at the very end of it, there is a large, majestic bur oak, which is estimated at over 300 years old. You can't miss it. And that's our very southernmost edge of the property, Braemar Sanctuary property. So a lot of people have, I know, have been hiking over to see that, since it has been inaccessible for the last 5 to 10 years or so. And that's a pretty good hike to get back there to see that, as well as hiking our full Bluebird Trail, which is about 2 miles long on the Bluebird Trail. So yes, it's easy walking. We do have a lot of people enjoy it, as far as like bringing a little picnic lunch. We have a lot of photographers come up there, either photographers taking family pictures for people, or just nature photographers, like the guy from Chicago who came. We have a lot of people taking prairie flower pictures. There's just a lot of ways you can enjoy the property.
Well, the way the trails are set up, just the mindset is perfect for being immersed in nature and the wildlife out there. Just as Buck Owens would say, acting naturally. It's a great concept.
Yes.
Well, these improvements, like you mentioned, the low water creek crossing at Crest mm-hmm. Creek. How do these continued improvements impact visitor interest? Because we see some great areas, but there's a great launch, and it gets a little stagnant after a while. 10, 20 years, and nothing right. improved, and that's not a problem at Braemar.
No. And in fact, we actually have something in the works. It's currently on our budget. We're waiting for the budget to pass through Illinois Audubon Society. And all I can say is it will be a large facility improvement on our property that will be very appealing to everybody who takes in the property. So not letting the cat out of the bag yet, but we're waiting for that to pass on our budget, but it will be very nice when it's constructed.
Well, I know the trees there are magical, but they don't grow money. And it certainly, it started off with a great, generous endeavor, a great, generous, contribution from the Braemar family to make this all possible. There's certainly a considerable cost in operating Braemar Sanctuary, and folks can help and not only just provide a donation to help out, but also feel like you're a part of it.
Yes, we do. Several ways that you can help Braemar out. We do have memberships available. And like I said, we're owned by the Illinois Audubon. So if you're interested in an Illinois Audubon membership, that is handled directly through our head office in Springfield. You can check it out on their website, illinoisaudubon.org. And they offer, if you're really into traveling the state looking for nature things to do, there's many sanctuaries Illinois Audubon owned throughout the state. They have that all listed. Their membership would include, they actually put out a really nice quarterly magazine through Illinois Audubon, and they also offer statewide field trips throughout the year that you can sign up for. They've been kind of restricted on those because of the COVID, and we're limiting the size numbers on those, but there's still a lot of great opportunities through Illinois Audubon, and that is handled directly through their website. Or you can become what we call a friend of Braemar, and that's simply a $10 yearly donation. And it's made directly to Braemar Sanctuary, and we are a Hickory Hills chapter. I think I forgot to mention that. Our chapter name is Hickory Hills, and we are located at the H&B Braemar Wildlife Sanctuary is our official name. Most people just call it Braemar. If for your $10, if you would like to become a friend of Braemar, you could mail that to Braemar Sanctuary, Hickory Hills chapter, and it's just P.O. Box 395 in Hillsboro. And it's kind of an on your honor system. Every January, if you'd mail your $10 in, we keep you on a email list. And I do produce a quarterly newsletter regarding our sanctuary and what's happening there. And I also post about our events. this $10 enables you to be on the email list, and you will get the newsletters in full color. You'll get all the event flyers, everything for that. Or you can just simply make just a money donation to Bremer Sanctuary at the P.O. Box 395 if you're wanting it maybe to go towards the prairie restoration progress or possibly go to the education department to buy supplies for the schools and that. When the school programs come out or we host children's workshops, I do last fall, which were all unfortunately canceled, partnered with the 4-H, local 4-H here, and we were going to hold 5 workshops, in which were all canceled. So I'm hoping to get something on board with that again, partnering with the local 4-H, as well as Bremer itself doing several children's programs that are just open to the general public. So any donation towards helping with any of that would certainly be welcome for sure.
Well, I think we've learned one thing. Owl, deer, or butterfly is far more fascinating in its natural habitat than myself. There's no big desire for a Shawn Sanctuary. But that's a wrap for Around Montgomery County. I'm Sean Balint.